Isn't that our prayer this morning for God to make us a sanctuary for Him? Absolutely love that song. I can tell you this morning without a shadow of a doubt that I know that God has got something for us this morning. The message that God has had me on is too many confirmations that God has given for this not to be exactly what He has. Circumstances over the past month have all kind of correlated themselves together. It's just been stacking up one thing after another. And last Sunday, we talked about how firm is your foundation. And talking about that as far as, when you look at your Christian walk and talking about it in the realm of building and how in this particular building, in any building, that the most important step of the building process is making sure that you have a firm foundation. And that goes in every aspect of your life, whether that is your marriage, whether that's your, job, whether that's your relationship with Jesus Christ, whether that's a relationship with your children. It's all going to only be as good as the foundation upon which you've built it. But this morning, I want us to explore, all relationships, because instead of talking about maybe just how firm your foundation is in Christ, I want us to look at a firm foundation for lasting relationships. A firm foundation for lasting relationships. And we'll talk about, a multitude of relationships this morning, but I'm going to, focus a large portion on the marriage relationship. And that seems to be something that's coming up quite a bit that God has been throwing our way. And I'll give some examples about it, as we go in. But I want you to look, and let's look at where the Bible tells us that we are the bride of Christ. And let's turn to Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. And I want to read to you, I think, one of Wilma's favorite scriptures right here. Love this word right here and so much about what it means. So Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9, page 2171 in my Bible, if that helps you. Maybe not. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to wear, her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" Now, aren't you ready, okay, for the wedding supper of the Lamb? And what that means for us to be talking about, we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. This is a marriage relationship that you're talking about between us and the Father and us and Jesus Christ. And He has given us this, because of that, He has given us in our life, in our earthly lives, relationships. And in those relationships are supposed to be models of what ultimately is going to be coming of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationships that you have with your friends, with your family, with your spouse is supposed to be a direct model of what Revelation chapter 19 is talking about that we're going to have with Jesus Christ. And I can't help but to think about how we're treating relationships in the world today, how we're treating marriages in the world today. Is that the kind of wedding supper that we're going to have with Jesus? The same way we treat relationships today, is that what we're going to be doing with the bridegroom of Christ? I hope not. Church, I hope not this morning. I hope that firm foundation of building lasting relationships that we are modeling right now, that we're living right now in the world, it's got to be better with Jesus Christ. That marriage has got to be better. And I want us to talk about this morning kind of why I think that we've kind of gone wrong. I can tell you this morning, and may step on some toes, may not this morning, it's the plain word of God. Marriage in that particular relationship is very specific within the word. Marriage is none other than a relationship between one man, one woman, bound in a union with God the Father. That is marriage. That is a marriage relationship. There's a process and a way to go about marriage. There's a process of relationships in today. And these type of relationships are not just emotion-based. They're not just need-based relationships, just like your relationship with Christ. It shouldn't be a relationship just built on your emotions, because one day you heard an emotional song that was being sang, you know, in a church service or a preaching service that was, you know, heavy, and you were shouting and jumping up and down, and you ran to an altar and, you know, you told Jesus, I want to marry you down here today. I want to have a personal relationship with you. But yet you think that that's just in name only. We treat our relationships today, and it's kind of funny, I think Joshua is not in here right now, but I was telling people, his idea of going out with a girl is just that he said hey to her, you know. He said, I got me a girlfriend. I said, what's her name? He said, I can't remember. And I'm going, whoo, we're a long way off here. Okay. And I start talking to him. He's like, well, we sat at the same table together. And I said, oh, really? Did she sit across from me beside? No, she was not down there, and I was over here. And they said that she liked me, so I just, you know, she's my girlfriend. I said, son, we got some work to do. Don't we, Donna? I said, she's got to know your name, okay? You may have had to discuss this with her and see if she's on board with that. You know what I mean? But that is funny, but sad to say, y'all, that that's the way that relationships happen today. We look at somebody and we say, oh, well, you know, we share the same common goals or the same common interest, and so we're going to run off and we're going to be together. And if you talk about the foundation of the church, what is the church? What is the church? It's made up of relationships. It's made up of families. The church will never be any better than the family units that it is made up of. Never. How can it be? The church is not this building. The church is you, and it's your family. And if we have relationships in the home in the church that are built on rocky ground, then what is our churches and the relationships in our church is going to be? A direct reflection of what we have in our homes of the families that make it up here. And, you know, you can talk about marriage, and I can understand that, you know, relationships in general and marriage in particular in the world today, we're not doing it right. And I can talk to you about a lot of this, but I want to look at, and I'm just going to read this to you real quick, John chapter 3, and look at verse 12. And Jesus said, I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? How are you going to understand the marriage supper of the Lamb, a heavenly thing, if we can't get right the earthly relationships, the earthly marriage, your earthly marriage supper between you and your spouse or whatnot? How can you possibly understand and get the fullness of that if you can't understand the earthly things that are going on in your life? You can't. You cannot. Turn in your Bible this morning to John chapter 4, and I want to bring out something probably a little different than you heard. John chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. And here is Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and they've had their discussions, and they're kind of getting to the end of what they're talking about here. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't go get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. You know why? That the man that she was with at that particular time was not her husband? Because she had not went through the right process and done things right to make this man. She's just living with this man, okay? He, you know, they're roommates of sorts, and they're living together. And you know, she's going, I don't have a husband. He's like, yeah, no kidding, okay? And you can read any number of commentaries on this thing. There was no such thing as a common law marriage that was honored within the pages of the Bible. And you ask yourself, what is marriage? What is that type of relationship? Is it, well, you know, when the when consummation happens, is that qualify you to be married? Or is it when you go get a piece of paper down at the courthouse? Is that what, you know, makes you married? Is it when you've had a baby? Oh boy, then we got to go and get married. See, we're operating on the Hollywood style of foundations of relationships today. And I was listening to some messages going down to Florida on Tuesday, and this come up, and it's God's formula versus Hollywood's formula. And Hollywood's formula for love is this. Number one, find the right person. Okay? So you go searching to find that somebody, that it person for you. Number two is you fall in love. Number three is you fix your hopes and dreams on this person for your future fulfillment. And then, number four, if failure occurs, repeat steps one, two, and three. So it's find the right person, fall in love, and then, you know, it's all about them. It's all about them. And I can tell you, I seen this so beautiful the other day with one of my employees at Capital City Bank. She comes in, and I just don't know. I guess because I'm a minister, people just feel the great necessity to spill their guts to me, okay? And I'm sitting there, I am minding my own business. Monday before I leave, I'm counting my money, I'm trying to get everything because she's going to be taking over my management responsibilities while I'm gone these, you know, 10 days. And my other teller leaves, and she's standing there, and she is a, me and her are the same age. We went to middle school together, and very, very good, level-headed woman, okay? But she has a child outside of wedlock with this particular gentleman, and she's pregnant with a second one. And we've had all different types of discussions, you know, about things. And she knows my positions when it comes to marriage and relationships and how you do it the right way and whatnot. And she just says, Corey, let me tell you. My grandma and them were just telling me the other day that, you know, me and Regis, we got to go get married. And I said, well, why? She's telling me, we're playing this story to me, and she's going, well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't know if I want to marry this guy. I don't know him well enough. I got to get to know him. And I'm counting, oh, Lord. Ooh. You know me, God, I don't know how to keep my mouth shut, just counting. I keep counting, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. And she keeps going and going, and she's talking about, you know, I don't know if I can trust him with finances, and, you know, I got to take it slow, and you shouldn't just get married for this, that, and the other. And I finally said, this is it. That's it. Okay. And I put the money down. I got out of my chair, okay, because I got to stand up to preach. And and I said, Brittany, I said, look out there. And y'all know how I'm a pretty sarcastic type of a person. I said, look out there. And she was looking. I said, wave. She waved. I said, the ship has sailed, baby. I said, wave at it as it leaves the port. It's gone. What you mean you don't know if you can make a commitment to this guy? You got two children by him. You, what she was wanting is a dating relationship that's like, hey, how you doing, baby? I love you, that kind of stuff. You mad, and you just go to your house and go to another house. Once you've got children, that is a lasting bond right there. You are together whether you like it or not. What a backwards way to think about marriage. And I told her, I said, you are just, this is done. I said, you do you know him? You should have thought about that two children ago. Do I know him? Can I trust him? Is this, I mean, my heavens, I don't want to have somebody being the mother of my children that I just simply have no clue who they are. With the background and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just, my blood pressure is boiling, and I'm just bam, bam, bam. I'm just going, and she's just standing there just taking it. Yeah, I don't know what she was expecting out of me. She knows. She knows. I couldn't even believe she said this because I'm sitting there counting my money going, why is she saying this to me? She needs to wait till Laura gets back. Laura would be like, oh, yeah, honey, I know because that's the way I'm going to do it. I mean, I ain't finna be marrying nobody that I don't know how they are. You know what I mean? Stupid. There's a phrase for that, but I can't say it in this company. And And after I got done with it, you know, she was sitting there and she said, well, you know, I understand what you're saying. I said, but I don't think you get it, though. I said, you know, you can't not have a, you know, can't undo your baby daddy now. And I told her, I said, listen to me. I said, let me just give you this example. This same man has another child with another woman that he was never married to either. And she's always coming into the bank. Oh, I tell you, his baby mama, I mean, she just driving me crazy, coming down here and doing this. And I'm going, well, you know what? He can't break loose of that lady right there. There's a bond between him and that woman because they have a child. And I said, what difference do you think is going to be with you and him if you just never get married? It's a backwards way of looking at things, okay? But that's the way society goes today. It goes, well, let's move in together. Let's live together for a while. Let's experience each other on the physical level of things. Get to know each other down to the deepest depths of them. And then we'll figure out if this person is somebody who's worthy for me to marry. And you see society going in this road. Don't worry about getting married. Just let's live together. Let's, you know, see how things are and get all the stuff. And, you know, and this has come up so many times over the past couple of months. I've had tellers come in and, you know, and my grandma told me that, you know, I got to live with somebody before I marry them and all this kind of stuff. Just to be sure, this is who I want. I'm going, oh, man, they want me to preach here today, and I try to not be the chaplain of the Capital City Bank, but, you know, if somebody presents me with something like this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power unto salvation, okay? I'm not. I'm going to say it. If you don't want to know, do not ask me. Don't ask Martha Peacock either. Don't ask her. She gonna tell you, okay? Don't tell you. She gonna tell you. And I learned from her, okay? But here you got this Hollywood mentality of things, and I've got an appointment today at 2:30 with a couple that I'm gonna be marrying in October. As a pastor, I require premarital counseling before I will marry anybody. I'm not gonna marry anybody outside of that. I've missed several opportunities to marry some people because they didn't want to go through that, and fine, you know, that's not nothing on me. I want to go through, so I want to talk with you. It don't even have to be 8 or 9 weeks. It can be, you know, one sit-down conversation that we talk about. Do you understand this? And I'm doing some premarital counseling, and they sat down, and the first question I asked them, well, what do you, you know, expect to get out of this premarital counseling? Oh, to grow closer together. And I said, okay. I said, don't be surprised if you find some issues that you need to take care of. And one of the things we started talking about was finances. And this has come up a lot with me at the bank. And people say, well, I do my finances over here, you know, separately. There's people in here that you do your finances separately in your home. And you think that's the best way to do it. And there's people that do their finances jointly. And you think that's the best way to do it. Let me submit something to you today. How you do your bank account does not matter. Okay? And neither one alleviates any problems whatsoever. Zero. None. They both have their own problems. Joint accounts have their own problems. Separate accounts have their own problems. Because you're sitting there going, well, why, how come? Because when you have separate accounts like that, where you both just do your deal and pay, that is a roommate way of doing finances. Roommates do that all the time. How many problems you ever hear about that roommates have with other person paying bills? You ever hear any financial problems with roommates? That's why I didn't have one, okay? Just paid it myself. Because I don't, you know, want to worry about the other half of the rent. I don't care. God doesn't care how you do your finances like that, separately, jointly. Get down to the root of what the problem is with what you're going on with your finances. How you set up your bank account. I've been in banking for the past 7 years. I've seen it. I know it doesn't matter how you do your finances. I also know that it does not matter how long you live with somebody. It doesn't alleviate problems. It doesn't matter if you have sex with that person before you marry them. It doesn't alleviate problems. Having children outside of that, it doesn't solve anything. We're going about it all wrong. But you know what's interesting is people that do those things and they're just living there, at some point they stop and say, you know what, this doesn't seem official. We got to make this official. And everybody wants to go and find a pastor in a church that's going to marry them to make this relationship, hey, put a stamp on it. They come out of the woodworks, and they want to get married in a church. That's why I require premarital counseling because I'm just not going to marry anybody just because they think that this is the step that they do to make it official. You know, this is how it's going to be made right. But you see that. But you know what? When you built a pyramid, you know, upside down, it ain't going to stand too long, people. The pyramids have stood the test of time. Why? Because they were built with a solid base and a solid foundation, and they're still standing today. But when you start with the top, the physical aspect of the pyramid, our relationships are being built like upside down pyramids today, and they're falling over all the time. You start out with, and this is the biblical formula of a relationship, become the right person. Don't just be looking for the right person. Worry about yourself. Become the right person to marry. Walk in love instead of looking for it somewhere. Fix your hope on God and seek to please Him through this relationship. Number four, if it doesn't work, go back to step one, two, and three. Okay, if you will begin to look at yourself, because you're looking for, I mean, any man in here, you know, what is this finding the right person? You could line up, whatever your age bracket is, and line up 1,000 finest women you've ever seen in your life, and you'd be going, oh, which one's the right choice? They all look pretty good to me. You know, ladies, you can line up a row of men, and you know, hunky or whatever it is, you know, you like, and you're like, oh, which one's the right one? I like him. This right person, you know, there is a right person, but you know, there's a huge fishbowl out there. And you setting out to find, if that's your number one goal, I got to go find this right person, and you haven't prayed to God, you haven't got God in the mix, don't have God at the end of your relationship after you've lived together and done all these things, and now you want God, put Him way over here at the basis of your pyramid. Okay, and then when you start building that baby up right here and you get to everything else, your relationship, whether that's a relationship with your family, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, brothers, and all that kind of stuff, or whether that is a romantic relationship, it will last if you build it on God. It will not if you build it the other way. That's why when couples sit down in front of me, we talk about the scriptural aspects of marriage. It is nothing between just you and one person. When I stand there, I take my responsibility very seriously when it comes to marrying somebody, because you know what? I just feel like I'm going to be judged on those people that I officiate their weddings for. I feel like God's going to look at me and go, you mean you were a part of that vow, that bond, that covenant? That's a covenant that you're making with one another when you're sitting there saying, it's nothing trivial. You're making a commitment between you, that person, and God. And I think that these people need to understand how serious that is. You just don't trivial and just break it for any old reason. The Bible is clear about that. So when I'm standing there and I'm repeating that going back and forth, I want to know as much as this boy right here can that they understand the words that are coming out of their mouth when they say that. But I'm going to tell you something, church, just like in anything else, and I said I was going to talk a lot about marriages, but this formula goes for everything else. You know, a formula for a foundation for lasting relationships. You want your relationship to be lasting with this church, with the people in front of you, behind you. Let's start out seeking God's heart. Let's start out praying. Let's start out with putting God in the mix. Not giving Him way down the road, seeing if He can come back and fix all the mistakes that we've made down here. And putting Him number one when it comes out there in your life with your relationships. Young people, let me tell you that you're in here today, okay? What I'm preaching to you today, and this is a lot for those people that are young, okay, and have not married yet, but young people, the world's way of doing this deal is not what I just presented to you today. It's not. You're going to be told to do it all these other ways. Your friends are doing it. You know some people, don't you, Taylor? Your friends are doing some stuff, okay? Cheyenne, you got all kind of people you go to school with. They're already involved in a lot of things, okay? How's that work out for them? I want you to watch that. I want you to, you know, I had an opportunity to go back and look on my Facebook page over, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 years at people that I was in high school with, and I literally cried at my computer there to see the people that I had been in school with and the path that they're on now, especially when it comes to relationships. Knowing that we are doing a huge disservice to how we are appearing and how we're looking at relationships today. And this translates directly into relationships with God. We do the same thing with Him. We just break it off with God in a minute because He didn't do or, you know, didn't come on the scene and answer that prayer that you wanted, you know, right there. Because all your relationship with God is founded on is your wants. You're looking to find the right God. You're looking to find the right church. You're looking to find that one thing, that Hollywood style of formula of what is the right way to do it. It's me, it's me, it's me. Instead of sitting back and worrying about yourself and worrying about what God just has for you. And we see why the relationships are so fickle today. Who you have friends today, or the friends are not like friends used to be, are they? Be there for you. Thick and thin, they're few and far between, you know, today. If you want to see, please teach this kind of stuff to your children, your grandchildren. Open your ears, young people. Empirical evidence is the best thing. You can go back and look at it. It has not been working. The family unit today is falling apart. Obviously, the new way we've been trying to do this deal is not correct. Let's go back. Let's go back and do it right. Okay? You may have made some mistakes in your life already. Hey, haven't we all? You made some mistakes in your relationships. You may not have started your relationship out right. You may not have been doing it. Today's the day to get that stuff right. You may not in your marriage relationship right now. You may not have God as the foundation of that. Fix it. There ain't no problem with going and busting up some stuff and laying down some new concrete and getting it right. Is that not better than sitting there just waiting for it to crumble? You may be sitting right now in a marriage relationship that you think that it's done. It's over. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that God is in the business of just watching marriage relationships fall apart. He's looking for you to come in, and He wants you to save some relationships sometimes. And He will, and He can. If He can raise people from the dead, and He can mend broken bodies, He can mend a broken relationship, if you will trust Him that same way. If you'll say, God, you know what? I just don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. And quit the blame game. Well, it's my husband, it's my wife, it's this, it's that, it's him, that's her. What about yourself? Hey, right there. Become the right person. Pray for that other person. And you're going to see some things turn around. But I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things. Earl hit on some things Wednesday night. Yesterday we hit on some things for men today. But if you ever want to see the church become the powerful unit that it can be, let's get the foundations in our individual lives and our relationships and our homes back right. I see it every day. I confront it every day. I know the way that things ought to go. I try to let people know that. I don't succumb to the ways of this world when it comes to saying, well, you ought to do this and do that. Me and my wife have been together for 9 years, coming up in April. May it be our third year of marriage. I hadn't had to go out there and be with 20, 30, 40 people before I figured out which car I wanted to drive off the lot. I'm blessed to have that one right there. And I know that that's God's one for me. And there is nothing any better than that. Nothing any better to know that. And when we stood right here on this stage, you know, when we got married and John was giving us our vows, I tell you, anytime I sit in a marriage and I hear those vows, I cry every time when I hear those vows, because that's something holy. It is holy. And I meant what I said. Sometimes I have to be reminded through the thin poor, you know those things, what, you know, you just got to be reminded that you made that thing out there. But I'm gonna tell you something, it's ingrained in us to want to be united together. Not in the physical way. Yes, that's ingrained in you too, and that happens. But I'm talking about marriage. Why do you see this gay marriage debate going on like it is now? There is a deep-rooted just feeling that they got to be married. It's got to be spiritual. Everybody has that desire, almost. Everybody wants to, they want it to be done in a church by a preacher because they know down here that this relationship is a spiritual one. Okay? Let's just start it out that way. Let's teach that. Again, there's nothing to say that you can't get it straight in the middle. And no, none of us has ever been perfect. There ain't nobody in here that's got a perfect marriage. I don't care how long you've been married. You say, oh, no. Hey, me and my wife, we waited. She's the only one, all this other kind of stuff, and you still got problems. I'm not saying that, you know, and coming down on anybody that hadn't done everything exactly right. What I'm talking about is that just because I may have made some mistakes in my relationship, because I have, that doesn't mean that I just give my and teach my kids that they can make those same mistakes. That I can tell these young people right here, because most people are making mistakes and most people are, you know, the divorce rate is ridiculous today. That, oh, you got a way out. Just, you know, if you go and get stuff in your marriage, just go down to the courthouse and just get it, let it go. Fight for those relationships if that's what God had you for. But if it didn't start out that way, it doesn't matter. It's not a bond between you and God. It's just a piece of paper you got from the courthouse. That's not marriage. I want you to know that. If the only thing you have to say that you're married is a piece of paper from the courthouse of the county that you come from, that's just a civil union. Marriage and a civil union are two different things. Marriage is when you become one flesh with one another. And how beautiful is that? And I want you to understand that that's what's going to be like when we get to heaven. Okay? And I want to be, men, that scripture that says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Now, that's an awesome responsibility for us. To look at your wife and to know that it's your responsibility to love her unconditionally and just to submit to her with everything that she can, that you can be in that relationship back and forth like that. That's beautiful. You know why that should be easy for us men? Because he did that for us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords gave his entire life for his bride. Why can't we do that today? Let's stand and let's pray this morning. I thank God for what he's done here this morning already. I thank him for the reading of the word. I thank him for how he showed us that we're supposed to be. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that marriage supper. I'm ready to be able to sit down with the bridegroom and us to be standing there and we have that meal with Jesus. And I hope that everybody in here that you have that assurance to know that if you were to die today, that you're going to be able to meet Jesus. And if you don't know that, then, you know, you can come down here to this altar and you can get that straightened out. Maybe you've got some things going on in a relationship and you need some prayer about that. You can come down here and somebody will be praying with you about that. Today's the day to get our relationships right. Today's the day to mend those relationships with our children, our grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever the case is. Maybe it is your spouse. Today is the day to get that, at least the ball rolling, and getting Christ involved if you haven't already. Let's pray.